You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast, a show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, Legacy. This show is brought to you by QueerNessAtAnyCost.com and Austrian-Legacy.com. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy. And now, lean back and enjoy.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 69 of
In Response,
a legacy podcast.
I'm Philip Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
So, at first I think we can hop into medias in res. With In Response to the Media, there's the section of the show where we respond to current topics of the community. And I think the biggest thing on the horizon is at the moment Outlaws of Thunder Junction, the newest iteration of Magic's standard set, which feels a little bit commanderficated for me. What's your opinion on this, guys?
I think I could see this because I saw a little bit of the previews, and at first the first couple of cards that I saw, actually I had in mind, oh, this is the new Modern Horizons set.
Okay, or Commander Legends.
Yeah, because some of these cards really felt incredibly powerful for what you expect from a standard set. And I think one of those what Philip is referring to is one of those Twitter posts or a little bit of Twitter discussion that's going on.
It's basically the tweet of at Hovermere. And they said, this set really feels like the commandification of Magic coming to a head, not gonna lie. And actually, I kind of agree with this take. When we go through the spoilers and we've seen, like this card, it's Obeika, Splitter of Seconds. It's a Grixis colored commander, it's a legendary creature, a 2/5 with menace. And whenever Obeika, Splitter of Seconds deals combat damage to a player, you get that many additional upkeep steps after this phase.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see any kind of synergy in this standard set for this kind of card. I mean, why put a legendary creature, free color, in a standard set that gives you more upkeep
steps? It's really kind of designed for a commander. It really, when you look at this card,
you scream commander card.
Yeah, it is definitely targeted for commander players. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like what I've read through the post and seen a little bit is like so many multicolor cards, so many cards with various unique effects and that kind of fill niches. It's like it's way too much for even commander players because like you can't really get like 40, 50 new commander cards out of every new set. Because if you include like the commander decks that we have for every set, the new commanders, then the basic versions of the, then we have the bonus sheets and whatever else. It's like so many different new cards that you can try where you can build decks around. It's like way too much to get a feel for.
But in my opinion here is the problem here lies because that's a standard set, standard play, that's tournament legal. It's not targeted at commander audience. I mean, we have separate products for this. We have the pre-cons, we have separate commander sets, like Commander Legends and everything. And in my opinion, that's just not a good preoccupation to be. It's not good in the long run for the game.
It depends on, I think, what the power level of those cards are. If it's just a single card, I'm pretty sure that Wizards just wants commander players to buy the boosters to hunt this rare card down for themselves. But if it takes over, and we've seen this over the last years as well, then I think it's a big problem.
But one of the things I want to kind of turn in is like, you said, like, this set is not targeted for commander players.
Yeah.
It's basically everything, and that's basically the thing.
The commanderification of standard sets of every product that we have, everything is targeted now at commander. This is basically the poster child now. A standard set that really screams, "Hey, play commander with me!" It's just a death of tournament magic. Am I right?
No, the big thing I think, and for me, like the traditional commander players or the various newer players that come in, are like the pre-con guys. When you start with Magic, I mean, the next thing is that you can get like the newer cards and stuff like that from assets where you buy singles and stuff like that. But I think you only get guys for Magic Commander with pre-con style. And I think it's a huge issue that we get like, I mean, we are on board. We all think it's a huge issue that we had like so many commander stuff like running around in tournament Magic as set boosters and stuff like that, but it's a huge issue because I personally think they don't really fill the niche in getting it targeted for the commander players.
So what's our consensus here? Do we like it, or do we say Wizards should keep commander out of tournament legal standard product that goes into rotation into our most beloved format Legacy?
I think overall, I wouldn't mind if it's just one card that doesn't destroy the whole set kind of thing. But if it's in every set and if it's really the whole setting and if it, you know, takes over too much, then I would say no, absolutely. I think it's a bad thing.
One of the things I really dislike is like in Magic, you kind of want to have fourths and a lot of stuff like that. And good designs, not on legendary creatures, is a huge bonus. Because if you remember, like if Snapcaster Mage, for example, would be a legendary creature, it would be kind of bad. I mean, if Bowmasters was a legendary creature, it's all different. So I really think it's important that we have strong cards that are not legendary creatures.
Yes.
That being said, if you like what we are doing, consider following us on our social medias at @response_legacy. And we also want to thank our Patreons, Matt Duncan, Christian Neutz, and Moritz Eichmeier, for supporting us. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy.
I think with that, let's hop into a better topic.
into our main topic, basically. I mean, this time, We have called our episode Nice, not just because of the meme factor, because of the 69th episode, but also because we want to talk about the great things that are happening right in our format, and that's the meta, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The meta is as healthy as it hasn't been for the last couple of years, I think.
I think this is a big debate at the moment. There's a lot of people who hate the format and the meta game at the moment, because, and I get this point, because the most viable decks at the moment, you can boil this down to decks that play the reanimate grief package, which we recently saw with Scaminator, of course, in the top of the meta game. That Ancient Tomb decks is the second
pillar.
Viable pillar. Yeah. And then there is Urza Saga decks is the third one that make like really viable decks. And if you're out of those three, you have just a subpar deck and strategy at the moment.
Is Beans that far out?
At the moment, so I've been playing Beans a lot.
You turn to the dark side right now.
I turn to the dark side. Unfortunately, but yeah. I played Beans a lot, and you've seen that. I think I talked about this last time also. I had a pretty crazy record. I think it was over 80% win rate at our local meta game, and it really plummeted down now from the last three events or something like this. And I was not really winning really at all, because Beanstalk is a card that needs time. That's one of the issues. Beanstalk, you can jam it on turn 2, but if you do it, like in, I would say, 60 or 70% of the time, you're just dead, because you're doing it. You give up your temple place and your manor. And besides that, it makes just not the kind of tempo or mana accelerating plays that the other decks are really doing at the moment. And Beans, therefore, is you just don't get to the point where you pull out the value that the card can bring if you play the card.
You're just a little bit too slow, actually.
You lose too fast to the Scaminator decks. You get disrupted too much from this.
Scaminator really surprised me. I just thought when I saw this deck and it was pretty popular online, and it now gets more and more played in paper legacy also. I was really surprised because for me it feels like okay, you could just hate this deck out, right? Because you have graveyard hate and graveyard decks usually like Reanimator. They're only as long good as the people don't play that much graveyard hate. And at some point you face your ley lines and your surgicals and your Grafdigger's Cage and whatever. And I felt that the Scaminator deck has the same problem. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't turn out to be that way in practice. Because Scaminator is not really it is maybe a combo deck in game one. But it turns into a tempo deck in games 2 and 3, which you can just board out the whole package of Entomb and some of these payoff cards, and you just play a Delver kind of strategy. And
we all know how good Delver is.
Delver is still, it doesn't play Delver, but you know,
it's still a tempo play style. Yeah,
exactly. So overall, it's like a combo tempo kind of deck, combo in game one and then tempo in games 2 and 3, and
It's basically a viable transformational sideboard deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're just switching out, I think, about
six cards
or something like that. Yep. It's just not more. I think it's one Bowmaster and 3 Murktide and some special sideboard hate, and that's it. So this deck is pretty transformational. And actually, I for myself got also caught pretty off guard from this kind of meta shift, because when the last time we recorded, I was pretty high on Dredge.
You also had a pretty good record.
I had a pretty good record. I had 2 5-0s in a pretty short time span with a pretty outdated Dredge list, actually. And this was all because of the more controlling meta in our local game store. And it was like, Buck Beans was such a favorable matchup. I mean, you simply couldn't really lose this matchup. You had to screw over really, really hard to get beaten here. And suddenly, Scaminator was on the rise. Therefore, Graveyard Hate was on the rise. I got a whole lot of splash damage. And the last 3 weeks were just disastrous. So the meta is definitely in flux, from my opinion.
But does this mean then automatically, this sounds like that the meta is kind of, it is in flux, but given your experience, it gives the impression that the meta seems bad.
Oh, that's definitely not the case, from my opinion.
Kind of the point, why do you think then the meta is good still? Even though, for example, you cannot play Dredge at the moment.
Yeah, because there's still ways actually to fight off this menace, like grief. Yeah. I think there are ways to beat it. They aren't really fully discovered right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a record low of Swords to Plowshares decks in the meta, and I'm pretty sure that more decks rocking Swords to Plowshares is just a nightmare for Scaminator.
Yeah.
Because, sure, getting griefed and then getting your card out of your hand hurts really, really bad. But at least if you're on the play, you can sort your evoked grief. And then there are no reanimation shenanigans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you such a huge boon. When I played my Mardu midrange deck in Las Bologna, and I faced Scam, that was basically the go-to move just to kill the grief or to exile the grief, and then it's just, well, you're pretty much dirtly.
Mm.
And then you still have graveyard hate to combat the entombed, the animated dead, and everything. So, although people are screaming right now for bands left and right for grief and Bowmaster, basically everywhere on social media, especially on Reddit or something, the deck feels targetable and beatable.
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult topic to just, I mean, we are basically a lot aligned in this. We think the meta is healthy, it's self-rotating, which is a very, very good sign for a healthy meta game. Even though the last few big decks of the format with Bugbeans and Scaminator basically have the Grief Reanimate package in common, which could be an indicator if the next deck in the rotation also having this package, that the package is a problem for the format. But in this position that we are currently in, it's a sign for a very healthy metagame. Even though, if you may not like the metagame or the gameplay patterns in there, it doesn't mean that the metagame isn't healthy. For me personally, Paint is a little bit on a low point because, like, Bugbeans or Beanstalk in particular were very, very hard to deal with. Scaminator seems like, yeah, you have to kind of battle on two fronts. Pyroblast is in an all-time awful spot currently.
Yeah, that's true.
it's a very, very hard time for a Paint player, for example.
Mm.
But I really like the deck. I really like the gameplay. And even though there are some meta games or some decks where you have really issues to combat it, you have some healthy decisions to make. And therefore, it's kind of good to play because every decision still matters.
Yeah, that's the thing where I also agree here that the metagame is nice, is healthy, and is a good metagame in the spot that we're in, because it doesn't feel that so bad like the Delver Raghavan times or even the Expressive Iteration times, where it was just you knew when you get paired against Delver that this was just a lopsided matchup. It was just a 70-30 all the time, or it was good as long as your opponent didn't do an Expressive Iteration, and then they just ran away with the game. It's even the games where you are on a losing spot against Scaminator don't feel that harsh compared to previous metagames. And I think this particular feeling of a metagame that we that exists also indicates if the meta is good or is bad.
Yeah, and one thing is kind of like with Scaminator, even though it has like the unhealthy aspect of like Entomb Reanimate, but it's not like the traditional Reanimator decks where you have way more cards to get the big things in your graveyard and much more density of big threats from your graveyard. It's not that consistent to drop it on turn one. It's like sometimes they develop on the first or even second turn incomparable to the turn one thing. It's like we had a discussion in our local group like about a video where they talked like Wildplume Adventure was like kind of okay and we would like to see the card thrive in the current metagame, even though Bowmaster is a big thing currently. But Wildplume Adventurer is a thing that is a force check on turn one that you always have to respect on turn one, that you had the option to mulligan to because it was like a 1-2 punch card with any of the Ancient Tomb or City of Traitor effects plus another additional mana. So it was like incredibly unhealthy for the metagame because the big thing happens on turn one consistently. And with Scaminator, it's like sometimes turn one, turn two, but most of the time it's turn two, turn three, especially if you go in tomb into a reanimate because of like you don't have the acceleration that the traditional graveyard deck set.
Yeah, I have to say, since as Phil said, I switched to the dark side. I played this deck.
You hail the Dark Lord, am I right?
Yes. Yeah, because, we can talk about this. Yeah,
yeah, we can talk about it.
For it's really nice. But to the point that you made, I agree in that sense that it's not very consistent in performing this scam turn one place, let's say. And also, it lacks, unlike Delver that had access to expressive iteration, it lacks the second dimension where you can, I don't know, suddenly go into a grind game plan if your opponent hates yourself out or something. I really have faced a couple of situations where I faced a Leyland of the Void. And to be honest, there are, of course, cards that you have in your sideboard that deal with that. You play a playset of Dorothy Voidwalkers, for example, that is your plan alongside Bowmasters to dodge Leyland or to play around Leyland. But still, it doesn't feel as powerful anymore because you're really sitting there with your hand and you have a couple of reanimates. Sometimes you just cycle a troll for a land. I mean, it's okay, but not really impactful. And then you're just pondering, brainstorming, maybe dazing a spell and wastelanding your opponent. But what are your big threats? You're hoping to get a Dorothy and a Bowmaster and
Hardcast Troll.
Hardcast Troll, maybe. I mean, Hardcasting Grief, to be honest, is a good thing. It's very, very much. And this is why I think that Grief ultimately is a big card to watch out, because Grief is not only the dispitchable kind of creature that you have to pitch, you can reasonably hard cast it as well. This is a big bonus, but other than that, the deck is really not so powerful when you really face a big amount of hate. And this is where the format can be explored, I think, at the moment. We've seen decks like Green White Depth that is really, really good at this moment. It has access to swords, a really consistent graveyard hate, also in game one. It won one of our local
events,
ELM qualifiers in Vienna, for example. It is a really good deck, for example, to take up. And I get that most of the time when we speak of legacy health in the historic times, I think it was mostly healthy when control decks were viable, which is not really the case at the moment. But this upsets, of course, a lot of the legacy enthusiasts and long-time legacy players that enjoyed the game when control is around and you can build your control deck to beat a certain metagame. Right now, it's just not the time for control, as it seems. But I don't think it's necessarily then a bad sign for the overall metagame and format.
Yeah, there are always losers and winners of any particular metagame. Even if we have a very, very stall or a stale metagame, usually control is a little bit of the upfront because you are well prepared what decks are in the running or are coming for you. So it's like, but currently it's like, yeah, you can find the grief into Bowmaster thing like toxic, or it's not the thing that you enjoy. But overall, I don't really think anything is way too overpowered. We've seen from what's it that Bowmasters is on the watch list. I regard before we ban Bowmaster, maybe Grief is a little bit on the upfront, but it's like, I mean, Bowmaster is a card that counters itself, or you play something that doesn't care about Bowmaster. It's like there are still a lot of decks, as you mentioned, like Greenbat Depths, Painter, Monored Stumpy, Initiative. There's so many decks that don't play any card draw. And the Bowmasters in there, they are a little bit disturbing in game one and they get boarded out for game two.
Well, what I wanted to say here is maybe if Bowmaster gets the X, decks like Mono White Death in Texas resurface again, because that's basically gone since Bowmaster is here. And maybe this has a leg up onto Blue-Black Scaminator.
Can be. It can be that just because of the presence of Bowmaster, it means that some other decks aren't viable, which would be good against
Scam,
Grief. Yeah, let's say.
Against Grief.
It could be. And maybe it's down to the numbers in the end, because when Bowmaster is played by, I don't know, 38% of the decks at the moment. Yeah, maybe it's too much. We don't know. And but I think right now, at least, when you have this snapshot of this legacy meta game, well, in Scaminator, Bowmaster is most of the time only played as a 3-off, not a 4-off. This doesn't strike me as a card that I would like to ban at the moment.
Yeah, that's but true.
Of course, this is only the moment where you, that is captured. And of course, you have to look at the bigger picture. It's like this cycle that turns. When Dredge would be the most prominent and a broken deck, for example, it could be for one short period of time, maybe for one weekend, but the next weekend everybody packs the ley lines and it's gone.
Kind of. And suddenly it's gone. Yeah, that's basically what happens all the time, Dredge.
And I think we are waiting for this turning point of the wheel, let's say, yeah, where the legacy meta game shifts to another, adapts to the Scaminator deck.
Yeah.
And we go from there, I think.
This is the thing where I find it's healthy, it's good, it's nice, because what would be worse if it would be a stale meta game?
Yep.
Stale meta game is just really what drives people away, like we had in Oko.
Mm-hmm.
Oko was just
Astrolab, yeah.
Such a stale meta game. It was just unfun, and
you had to play Oko. Any strategy with Oko, it was good. Without, not.
Yeah, that's basically the thing. At least now we have kind of a wheel. We have kind of an influx. We have a fluctuating meta game,
yeah.
And therefore, I think we can say that's nice and healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, agree. It's just a very, very good meta game to play. Decisions matters, and therefore we can't wait for Modern Horizon 3 to introduce something that destroys everyone on turn one.
And I think this is actually one of the biggest reasons maybe why you should not ban something at the moment, because Modern Horizons is coming. We have a complete new format.
We will get a Bowmaster for one mana now and a Grief for two.
It's an 0-2 for that has a new the Oko, Bowmaster.
You know?
No, we got a new Oko in Outlaws of Fun Junction.
Well, it's not good.
Yeah, I just hope so, because I don't want to see this ugly thing again.
The beautiful six-pack?
Yeah, because I don't have one.
I mean, I have more.
You have a one pack.
Yeah, I have a barrel. No, it's. I mean, nothing matters until Modern Horizons 3, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and this will be in 3 months. So, at the moment, we could see if the meta is maybe adapting a little bit, and then Modern Horizons will sweep out everything, and maybe we will get the Grief 2.0. I don't know.
Basically, the best thing you could do right now is just save your money up for Modern Horizons 3. Yeah. Because this set will really, really get into your wallet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wait until we have all the free cards.
The free cards?
Yeah.
The pitch cards.
Yeah, the pitch cards.
Yeah.
I mean, the green one is nice. I don't think we have the other ones.
Ah, yeah. The
green ones the is fit. Like, I'm really Nick fit.
Yeah, it's really nice. We can talk about this later when we have the whole spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think we can wrap this episode up here.
Yeah.
The conclusion is we find the metagame nice.
Nice. So yeah, Phil, if you like what we are doing,
consider following us on social media as @response_legacy. You can find me on Twitter. It's @finnickmtg, @phinnickmtg. Peter, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at x.com, previously known as Twitter, as @unicornlord, but the O in the Lord is a zero. And what about you, Daniel?
You can find me also on x.com. It is @flyingdelta.
In response, the end.
This was In Response, a Legacy Podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on patreon.com/response_legacy.